If you were Satan, what would you do to hinder what God wants to do? What would you do? General Patton, my dad actually served with General Patton in World War II. My dad's tank was either the first or second tank to cross over into Germany in World War II. So the fact that my dad was with General Patton means he probably saw some action. And you know, Patton was a brilliant strategist in the army, in the military. And one of the things that he did was study the actions of the enemy, the plans of the enemy, to counteract what the enemy was doing for the purpose of defeating the enemy. And it worked. So, what do you think Satan does? He's not stupid. Well, he's sort of stupid. I mean, anybody who thinks, you know what? I think I'll be like God. Get me a throne. No. He has studied humanity, and he knows humanity, and he knows history. But he also knows how God works. Sometimes as Christians, I think we forget about that. Remember when Jesus was out in the wilderness? And I mean, you know, he and Satan were going at it. You know, it's interesting how that Satan invaded the lush, beautiful, perfect garden of God. And then Jesus was sent out to invade the garden of wilderness of Satan. And he got out there, and you know, they're going at it. Satan says, well, you know what? If you're the Son of God, do this. And Jesus says, it is written. And then what did Satan do? He came back and he said, well, you know what? If you're the Son of God, then take a leap, because it is written. He immediately picked up on the strategy and turned it and used it. Now, here's the thing. Most Christians, based on what I see in the body of Christ, most Christians would have said, well, bless God, I am a child of God. I'll show you. I'll jump right off here. Because you're right. The Word of God says those angels are going to show up and I won't dash my foot against a stone. And, you know, a few seconds later, splat. God, I don't get it. You know, why? Why? God says, well, because you listened to the word of the enemy. Oh, no, God, no, you don't understand. I was acting on Scripture. And God would say, no, you were acting on twisted Scripture, taken out of context, and you didn't know enough to stand back and realize what was happening. Satan, devils, they have been cast out of so many people. And they understand. We can't stop this power. So what we have to do is convince these Christians they don't have any. And so what do? Okay, now remember, if you're the devil, how do Christians get the power? How? Well, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now, if you think that Satan wasn't observing what Jesus was doing while he was here on earth, I mean, you're kind of foolish. And so anyway, here's this word, it goes forth. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And so then what happens? Well, you have this bunch up there in the upper room, and they received power. After that, the Holy Ghost came upon them. Now, they were already born again. Then they received this power. So now, if you're Satan and you're watching this, and you know that people have accepted Jesus as Savior, what do you want to do to stop it? I mean, you can't reach inside and pull their salvation out, so what do you want to do to hinder what God wants done? You've got to convince them that they don't have power and that they can't get it. And so what do you have now? Over the last 2,000 years, you have a doctrine that has risen up within the body of Christ that absolutely counters what is written in the Word of God. And this doctrine says, this whole being filled with the Holy Ghost thing and the gifts of the Spirit and speaking in tongues and all that, it's not for today. It passed away. I'm sorry, but I can't find that in Scripture, and I was raised to believe it. And so what I did was take what I heard and live by it, which is exactly what Satan tried to do with Jesus when he said, take a leap, because the angels, it is written. And so we hear things twisted in Scripture, it is written, and it reduces our ability, number one, to receive power, and number two, to operate in it. Because in some churches, they'll tell you, oh yeah, you know, you can get the Holy Ghost, you can get the Holy Ghost, you can get filled with the Holy Ghost, but first you got to feel goosebumps and all this other kind of stuff. And you can't speak in tongues unless you feel the unction. I don't know why. Every time I say that word, I just want to go like this. Unction. Unction. The unction. You got the unction. I got the unction. Oh, God, children got the unction. Ooh. Thing is, the reason it's like that is because we're acting on partial Scripture and Scripture taken out of context. See, I was raised to believe in those things. Well, I was raised to believe, you know, you couldn't get filled with the Holy Ghost and all that stuff. I was raised to believe it, and I believed it until I made a decision I was going to get back into the Word, study things out, etc., etc., etc. Now, here's what's sad. There are a lot of Christians, they say they love God. And they do, to a point. They're going to heaven. But they don't love him enough to want to dig into the Word to find out what is really true. Too many Christians live on the coattails of their pastor. The Apostle Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Well, okay. Then what is the example of Christ? And what is the example of what I see in the Apostle Paul? Because if he's following Christ, then I can study the life of Christ and I can study the life of Paul and get a pretty good idea of how things are supposed to be for me. But a lot of Christians aren't going to do that. They're still going to go to heaven. And God loves them as much as anyone else. But I know this, for me, I thank God that I made a decision to be teachable and to be open to whatever God wanted without putting up religious filters, to just receive what He wanted. If I hadn't done that, I wouldn't be where I am today. I tell you, if I hadn't done that, I would not be in ministry today. I don't know what I'd be doing today. And I just want to encourage you, whoever you are here, well, no, all of you, here, watching. Look, you've got to make a decision to be teachable no matter how bad it hurts. You have to be willing to let anything that's wrong be purged out of you. You know, I've talked to people before. Let me just put it like this. Well, you know what? I hear what you're saying, Brother Martin, but, you know, I think I'm going to go talk to my pastor about this. You already know what you're going to hear. You already know. Why don't you get into the Word of God and just start reading? And go to Him and say, Father, what I'd like you to do is help me see what I need to see. For the moment, I'm going to take everything that I've heard, you know, from my pastor, my Sunday school teachers, I'm going to put it over here on the shelf, and I'm going to start reading, and I want you to show me what I need to see and what I need to believe. And if it contradicts what I've heard, I'm going to choose to follow you. And if you don't do that, well, God's still going to love you. And if you're born again, you're still going to heaven. But there's a lot you could miss out on. A lot. Man, I can remember, you know, when we would pray for people who were sick, it's like, oh, Father, if it be thy will, you know, heal Joe. Father, if it be thy will. In fact, I even prayed like, oh, God, if it be thy will. Well, then I'm, you know, got to reading in the Bible and come to find out it is God's will. It is. And this thing about laying hands on the sick and seeing them recover, we're still supposed to be doing that. Well, Shazam. And I started doing that, and people started getting healed. Listen, I've prayed for people who have been diagnosed with terminal cancer, and the cancer has disappeared from their bodies. I prayed for a lady. Now, this is the closest I've come to raising anybody from the dead. She had this rare form of meningitis. She was in a coma. Four different doctors, each their own set of tests, all came back, same conclusion. Family, make the plans. She's not lasting much longer. When they get into this coma, they don't come out, they die. I went, I prayed for her. The next morning, she sat up in bed, rang the nurse, said, bring me breakfast, I'm hungry. And they wouldn't let her go home. They kept her for 3 more days trying to figure out what happened. And the family said, well, the pastor came in and prayed for her. Said, okay, yeah, fine, but what happened? She's supposed to be dead. Ma'am, you're violating all medical protocol. You're supposed to be dead. But she was healed. She was healed. Now see, the reason I'm saying that, I made a decision to lay aside what I'd been taught in my past and grabbed a hold of what I saw in the Word of God and began to act on it. It works. It works. It works. And it's not working as much in me, through me, as it should be, but it is more than it used to be. And it's going to be more than it is. That's just how it works. Praise God. That's not the sermon tonight. That just, I don't know who needed to hear it, but you know. Maybe I needed to hear it. You know, thank you, Jim. Thank you.